This is called It's Not Me, Part 3. It's Not Me, Part 3. We've kind of been talking about this now for a couple of weeks, and I didn't mention so much It's Not Me last week, but it really was tied into it. It was one of the parts of it. So let me just kind of go over some of the things we've already covered in It's Not Me. In week one, we were talking about the forces that are external that have effect on us. Rulers of darkness and also angelic beings. And how rulers of darkness are putting thoughts and emotions and trying to control us and making us do things we don't want to do. And the things we do want to do, we don't do that because something is having this power over us, making us do the things we don't want to do. So that's what we're talking about in week one. Now, last week we were talking about the internal. Now, in the internal, our physical body is always geared towards the physical senses. So everything we see, we taste, we hear, we touch, that's what's guiding that. And as a result of that, that's what's hearing the rulers of darkness and being persuaded. We're being persuaded by what we see. So suddenly we get into fear and worry because of something we have seen or something that we noticed in our life. And now we get nervous about it and think, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. And now you begin to run on that. And that's how the rulers of darkness are working. They're working through our physical, our flesh, as Paul calls it. But on the other side of that, we have the spirit. So we have our spirit, and our spirit is always looking towards God. It is hearing the promises of God. It is seeing the kingdom of God. It is hearing how to walk in by God. And so these two parts are warring against one another because they have something, an external force, that's telling them different stuff. So the spirit is hearing about the promises of God, and the flesh is being guided by fear and anger and guilt and all this other stuff because rulers of darkness are pouring into that. And so now these two sides are clashing. That is, until we receive Jesus into our heart. Once we receive Jesus into our heart, now there's a unifying that takes place in us so that now we are no longer warring. Now we have peace in our life. It now comes in. And to keep that peace, what we do now is we walk by faith. Meaning we walk by believing the promises of God, that God already fulfilled those promises through Jesus. We believe that. We believe in Him. And we walk according to faith. We don't walk according to sight, meaning we no longer are letting our physical senses, which are easily betraying us because often it's an illusion we are following, because that's what's being woven by rulers of darkness, our illusions, to make us afraid and get us into that mode. So these two sides are brought together now so that we walk by faith. There's a unity that happens there, a unification. We talked about this last week. Jesus, the unifying force. And that unifying force continues on. I didn't talk about this, but we will this week. That unifying force continues because now each of us is filled with the Spirit of God. We all have put on Christ. Remember I talked about last week? We put on Christ. Oh, there. So we have Christ on, meaning that we can do the things that He did. We have that same power and that same authority in our life to do the things that He did because we have put Him on. We don't take Him off. He's good for all seasons. So you don't have to take Him off. You can continue to use Him in all season. His power and authority works over all things. And so through that, now we have His Spirit on the inside, meaning we became citizens of heaven. Meaning that you all are citizens of the same heaven. You are all one. And they call that one in the body of Christ. Meaning, again, we are unified. So we should know this, that we are unified in Christ. Meaning that there is no conflict even on the outside. So we have peace on the inside. And we have peace on the outside with other people that are in our lives. And this comes about because of that unity that we have. And in the body of Christ, now let me talk a little bit about the body of Christ. Now, Liza and I have seen on several times in meditation, God shows us heaven. And He shows it, quite often He has shown it to us in the form or the outline of a human being. So it's like a big human being that we see. So when you think body of Christ, think a body, a big body. And each of us plays a part in that body, meaning Just as a body has different parts like hands and feet and eyes and ears, you're a member of a different community in heaven. So you might be a part of the community of the eyes, or the community of the liver, or the community of the feet or the hands. And here's Paul talking a little bit about this. This is in Romans 12, 4. Paul is saying, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function." That makes a lot of sense, because not everybody can be a hand, not everybody can be an eye, or all there'll be in the body of Christ are eyes. You know, and that doesn't make any sense, because now it's not going to function the way that it's supposed to. We have to be different. And this is something important to know, because quite often people that are already walking with God and filled with the Spirit of God want everybody else that's following God to do the same thing they're doing. And if they see them doing something in a different or in a different way, they get upset with them and they say, "Well, you're not doing it right. You're not living it with God. You're doing it in a different way." And we have to understand, no, there are many members that have different functions. And because we have different functions, we're still unified in that body. We're still a part of that body. Think about it. Your feet don't do the same thing that your hands do. And I'm very grateful for that, actually. I'm really glad that my feet have a separate function from my hands, because imagine if my feet did the same thing as my hands, it would make it a little harder to walk and run for me than it is. But now what if my hands got angry that my feet weren't doing the same thing that they're doing and began to beat my feet up? And now my feet are black and blue. Now suddenly when I try to walk, it hurts. I feel uncomfortable because they're warring within themselves. That doesn't make any sense, though, does it? My hands would never get upset with my feet and fight with them, right? Because we're all part of the same body. And it's true also in the body of Christ. You're all one in the body of Christ, but you each have a different function. So you might be in a different community of heaven. So you're letting the Spirit of God, one Spirit, lead you in that one body, in that one family, in that one hope. You're letting them lead you to do what you need to do for the entire body. So remember, that's why we want to hear from the Spirit of God, so we're doing the things that God is asking us to do. We shouldn't be worried about all the other functions. It's like the hands aren't thinking about the feet all the time, what they're doing, right? The hands have their own job to do. The eyes have their own job to do. The ears have theirs. So as Paul says, there are many members, but they each have their own function. And so we need to be unified in that. And we want to bring that unity together with other people out there in the world, because there are many people who are filled with the Spirit of God and they're warring against one another, saying, "Well, you're not doing it right." So for you, just start to remember that, well, there's different functions. We don't have to do it all the same way. We all are filled with one Spirit because we received Jesus, and we are all part of that body, but I'm a part of a different community that maybe than they are. So we do it a little differently, based on the guidance that God is giving us. So we have that unity still on the outside and within all of us, so we're all being brought together to work at a greater capacity. Because when your whole body works together, you can get more done, right? Have you ever had your body where it seemed like one part wasn't cooperating? And then maybe you felt sick as a result of that? And as a result of feeling sick, you couldn't get the things done that you wanted to do? And you were like frustrated because you knew what was important and what had to be done, but you couldn't do it. And it's the same thing in our lives as well, and in the body of Christ. We need all the parts working together. So if everybody's doing their function, doing what they need to do, then we'll have the unity. And now the whole purpose, the whole plan, the whole mission of God is fulfilled, and it's easier. We don't have to fight against one another. We need to be doing our part and working and understanding that every other has its own function and is going to be working together as well in the body of Christ. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Now we go on. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 10. Guess what? It's Paul speaking. Now listen to this, because this is another important part that we want to know in "It's Not Me." And here he says, "But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Here he goes again. "But not I," right? It's not me, he's saying. So here he says, "I labored more abundantly than all." He sounds like he's starting to say, "Man, I worked harder than everybody else. I mean, I really put in the work here. Nobody else is working as hard as I am." And if you look at what Paul has done, when you start to read about it and understand what he did a lot. And it sure looks like he did more than everybody else, because he was going to so many different countries and preaching to so many people, and they were all being saved, and all these new churches were springing up in all these different countries. And you look at some of the other disciples, and they stayed just in Jerusalem. They never left Jerusalem. They just kept talking to the same few people that were there. But Paul is out there on ships traveling. It's not as easy today where you can jump on a plane and just fly over there. And yet he's going out, and he went through so many things also. I mean, he was beaten, and he was imprisoned, and he was almost drowned a couple of times because of shipwrecks, and bit by snakes, and stoned, and thrown off cliffs. And I mean, the list goes on and on. This guy was busy. So when he says, I have labored more abundantly than all, you know, I'm inclined to believe him. But he says, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Remember, we're filled with the Spirit of God. Now God's grace begins to work through us. God's power now begins to work through us. See, Paul could not have done all that stuff he did, all the things we read about, all those people that were converted, all those churches that he started. He went into foreign countries where he didn't even speak the language. He spoke to people that had totally different gods and totally different ways of life, and he told them about Jesus. That couldn't have happened if he was doing it on his own. We cannot achieve a lot when we're on our own. And remember what I said was talking about the last 2 weeks. We're not our own anyway. We either are with the rulers of darkness who are controlling us and making us do their agenda, or we're with God and fulfilling our highest purpose and becoming who God created us to be. So we don't have our own life. And that's why Paul is saying, but it wasn't I. It's not me, he is saying, but the grace of God. So it's the Spirit of God inside of him that's doing the work. Now think about that for a moment. It's not him. It's the Spirit of God inside of him doing the work. And he was able to do all of this stuff. Even though it looks like him that's laboring hard, it's the Spirit of God that was working through him to do this. So it's not me. Now, this is an important point, because quite often when we start to do stuff, if we do a lot of stuff, we start to think, oh, I've done so much, man. I've done more than everybody else. And if we start to think how great we are and how much we've done, what have we done? We've taken our eyes off of God. We have turned away from him, and we begin to turn towards ourselves now. If we've turned away from God, now we're not hearing his Spirit guiding us, and now we could be tempted to get into following the rulers of darkness. Okay? So this is an important point. We want to continue recognizing it's not me. Meaning, it's not my life anymore. I put on Jesus. That means now I'm fulfilling the purpose of God. I am filled with God's Spirit. I am put on Jesus, meaning I have the same power and authority, you know, by his name. I have that same power and authority, and that's what I'm working for, and that's what I'm acting for, and that's what I'm living for. So it's not me. So at the same time, you know, the first week I was talking about it's not me. I bet you were all very relieved to know that when you did something bad, well, it wasn't you, it was something else that was making you do it. And you're probably like, oh, good, it wasn't me. What a relief. At the same token, we don't want to take credit for something bad that we did, but we also shouldn't be taking credit for all the good things that are happening in our life as well. We need to be giving the glory to God. We need to be recognizing it's him that's working through me. And when we recognize that, now his power can begin to flow through us. I remember years ago when I first encountered God and the Spirit of God came upon me, that over the next few months, it seemed like I got really smart, like overnight. I just suddenly knew all these things that I did not know before. And I was like, wow. You know, and one in particular thing that I really remember clearly is I was contemplating Einstein's theory of relativity. And I was comparing it to what I was working on in my life. And I was kind of understanding this concept and how it was working in terms of physical bodies and injuries. And I was just relating these two things. And I thought, wow, you are so smart. Man, you have become a genius overnight. And I was just walking around kind of thinking how smart I am and how great it is. And then one day, you know, after I was contemplating this theory for a couple of days, I said, wait a minute. I don't think you ever read Einstein's theory of relativity. So how do you even know this is Einstein's theory of relativity? You know, you might be just thinking about some other idea here. Maybe you've come up with a whole new idea. You're so smart. And so what I did is I went down to the bookstore. And back in those days, we had these places. They were bookstores. You could walk into them, and there were all these books on shelves that were for sale. I know you don't see that anymore. And you could just pick out a book and open it like a real book, you know, with paper and everything. And so I went, and I found a section, and I found this book on Einstein and his theory of relativity, and I began to read it. And as I read it, I realized, yeah, this is exactly what I was thinking about. Now, how did I know that? How did I know all this stuff if I had never read it, if I never studied it, if I never watched the special, the documentary that all showed it on a movie, right? How would I know this? Because this is one of the great benefits of being with God. When we are listening to God, God has all knowledge and all wisdom. And when we're following Him and walking by faith, now His wisdom can begin to pour into us. He has wisdom over infinite amount of things, and whatever we need to know, He can pour that into us too. But we need to be recognizing, and luckily I came to the realization, it's not me that knows all this stuff about Einstein's theory of relativity. It's God who's telling me. That's how I know. So it's not me. And as a result of that, now instead of me getting all puffed up and thinking how great I am, I was able to give the glory to God and thank Him. Thank you, God, for giving me this information. Thank you, God, for showing me this. This is amazing. And we want to be able to, you want to be able to stay into that same mode. You don't want to take credit for the bad stuff. Don't take credit for the good stuff either. Give the credit where the credit is due. As Paul is saying here, it wasn't me, but the grace of God which was with me. Okay? That's a good point. Now, there are some other great things here. As we see here also with Jesus, He wasn't doing it of His own either. It wasn't Him. He says here in John 5:19, Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself." The Son can do nothing of Himself. That means it's not me. Jesus is saying it's not me. He's doing the same thing. He realizes that it is the power of God through the Spirit that is working in His life to both... Now, think about the miracles that He performed. Think about Him walking on water, multiplying and increasing the amount of bread and the amount of fish to feed all 5,000 people, right? Think about Him casting out spirits and healing the sick and raising the dead. All these things that He did, He said He could not have done any of that of Himself, meaning it's not me that's doing it. It's the Spirit of God that's working through Him to do the work. The Spirit of God is working through you to do the work too. But you've got to let it. That's why I'm talking recently about opening your heart. Let the Spirit move. And move with the Spirit when your heart is open so that that power can come through. God can do amazing things through. Look what He did through Paul. He brought up so many churches. He changed so many countries. And He changed so many people. And it wasn't through... the physical, and it wasn't just through Paul. It was through the power of God that He did this. And we can see this if we take a look here. Now, this is interesting. This is something else that Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 20. He says, "For the kingdom..." Let's actually go down to Corinthians 2, 4 first. "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power." He is talking about His ministry. It wasn't in persuasive words and of human knowledge. Now, this is interesting because when I look at what Paul wrote and I start reading through the different books, and he wrote most of the New Testament, when you start reading about that, you think, wow, this guy, and you think about all the people that he converted and all the churches that he started, I think, man, this guy must have been a great orator. This guy was able to string together words so beautifully and so powerfully that it didn't matter what country he walked into, he would just talk to people and they immediately would fall down and believe Jesus, just like that. And I thought, wow, there's no way I can ever do that. I'm not, you know, an eloquent speaker. I don't have these big and powerful words that convince people immediately, that persuade them that they need to just run after Jesus. I just, that's never been me. And I was thinking, man, that's too bad because I won't be able to do what Paul did. But here Paul is telling us something else. He is saying, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. He is saying it was not the words that he was using that were persuading people. It was not his fancy speeches that were persuading people. That's not what was making people believe. What was making people believe, if we go down to the next part here, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and the power. So he is demonstrating the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. He was demonstrating the power of the Holy Spirit. That was what was making people believe. This is one of the benefits that you now have, being unified with God, being filled with the Spirit. It doesn't have to be about your words being persuasive or being all eloquent. It's about allowing that power to come through you. So like I was saying, that I had knowledge that I didn't know, that power suddenly came upon. And that's how people begin to believe, through the power coming through them. Remember, on the day when the 12 disciples received the Holy Spirit, do you remember that? When he received the 12 disciples received the Holy Spirit, what happened? They suddenly were speaking with foreign tongues. They were speaking in a language they did not know. They didn't know that language. They never learned it. They never studied it. They didn't have the Rosetta Stone program that teaches them how to speak different languages. They were just speaking. But as they spoke, the Holy Spirit now is working through them. And everybody that's listening from all different kinds of countries with different languages are hearing in their own language. They're hearing in their own language as the 12 speak. And what happened as a result of that? They saw the power of the Holy Spirit. They saw the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's when they believed. Say amen to that.
Amen.
It is the power of the Holy Spirit that changes people and makes them believe. The power of the Holy Spirit. Remember what was happening with Paul. He was demonstrating the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you ready to demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
Because when we demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit, not only do we receive the benefits of knowing things we didn't know, we can do other things as well. What else can we do when we are demonstrating the power of the Holy Spirit? We can heal the sick. We saw that with Paul as well. Paul was going around, he would lay his hand on the sick, and he would pray over them, and they would be healed. You've heard me talk about stories where I'll go and somebody will ask for prayers and we'll put our hands upon them and we'll pray. I was just talking about putting my hands on Liza's back and praying and she was healed. That wasn't me. All the techniques and all the things that I knew about healing backs didn't work. It wasn't until the power was demonstrated by the Holy Spirit that she was healed. Say amen to that.
Amen.
And this is where the power comes. But it's not me. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not my persuasive words that make people believe in Jesus. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that works through me. And I've seen this time and time again. I remember one time in Bible study, we had a group in Bible study, and there was a new guy there, and his girlfriend had come with him, and she only came to support him. She didn't even believe in God, and she said as much. She said, I'm just here because he wanted to come here, and I need to support him, so I came. She didn't believe in God. And so what happens is, in Bible study, we always go into meditation, and in that meditation, she encountered God. God began to speak to her. The woman who did not believe in God suddenly heard God, and God was saying how much he cared for her, how much he loved her, how much he wanted her life to be great. And now she is touched by the power of the Holy Spirit. When she came out of that Bible meditation, suddenly her heart was open. She was softer. Her eyes were just filled with tears, tears of joy, because she didn't ever even believe about God, but God believed in her. Say amen to that.
Amen.
It is the power of the Holy Spirit working through you. Remember, it's not me. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that's working through me. You've got to open your heart and let that power work, because that's what changes lives. I remember one night, one time, a while back, my mother and my brother came to visit me, my older brother. They came to visit, and every night while they were here, we were praying. And so my mother, my brother, Liza, me, and whoever else was there with us would pray every night. And after a few nights of this, my mother and brother said, what's happening while we're praying? They both noticed something was going on. My mother would all day long felt cold, and she was wearing like a sweater or two sweaters and a jacket and was all zipped up, and all day long she was like huddling and cold. And she said, the minute we start praying, somebody turned up the thermostat. The temperature is really hot in here suddenly, and suddenly she's taken off the jacket that she had been huddling in all day. She's taking off the sweater that she was wearing all day, and she's boiling hot. And she was wondering, what's going on? And my brother noticed the same thing. He said, yeah, I get really hot. The power of the Holy Spirit is working. And when the power of the Holy Spirit begins to move, that's when people believe. That is when people are transformed and changed, when the power of the Holy Spirit goes to work on them. We have that power within you. You have that power within you. Amen. Say, I have the power.
I have the power.
Amen. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. Now you've got to get into the mindset of going out there and knowing it's not me. I'm here to demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit. Say, I'm here to demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit.
I'm here to demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit.
If you begin to understand that, and now you begin to walk out on the earth, you'll be like Paul. You'll begin to do more things than you could have done physically. It'll look like you've done a heck of a lot, but it won't have been you. It'll be the power and the grace of God working through you, changing lives, healing people, casting out demons, all these things God said we could do. Jesus appointed us and said, this is what will follow you. We can be bit by snakes. It won't have a power over us. We won't get sick. Why? Because we got that power working within us and working through us. It's not me, though. It's the power within the Holy Spirit. Say amen to that. And so these are the things that are happening in our lives as we go along. You know, Jesus did the same thing. He was demonstrating the power of the Spirit as he walked upon the earth. He said it wasn't him. Can do nothing of himself. It's the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, that Spirit of love that's working and it's going as it's going out. He raised Lazarus from the dead. What happened when he raised Lazarus from the dead? If you were in our Bible study this past week, you probably already know what happened. It said many people believed. They believed because they saw what? They saw the power of the Holy Spirit. They saw the power of God working because suddenly Lazarus was dead for 4 days and now Lazarus rises from the dead. Amen?
Amen.
So this is how we get people to believe in our life, by knowing and giving the praise to God and knowing that we are here to demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit, that is what is working through us. In 1 Corinthians 4:19, Paul says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Amen?
Amen.
It is in power. It's not in words. Sometimes we try to explain it. We try to talk about it. We try to figure it out. We're trying to convey it with words. You want to convey it, open your heart. Let the Holy Spirit go to work out of you. Lay your hands upon the sick. Cast out the demons. Let the light come in. Watch the people's lives change. And the people that didn't believe will be believing very quickly. They will suddenly see God. They will encounter God and be changed in a very powerful way, very quickly. That's how we do it. It's not by words. Now, once we believe, we need to hear words. That's why you come here on Sundays. You need to hear the words so you know how to work in the system of God and how the system of God works in you. And so you need to be educated in that and trained in that. And we use words to do that. So we tell you and explain to you and teach you how that happens. But people that begin to believe, it is by the power of God that they believe. Not by fancy words, not by persuading them. You can't convince them. They think the things of God are foolish. So you can't convince them with your words and your experiences. But you can by demonstrating the power of the Holy Spirit. When you know it's not you, when you know it's not you, number one, you are free and blameless from all the things that try to come against you and try to stop you. When you know it's not you, now you're free to open your heart and let God begin to work through you to demonstrate his power. Now, there is free choice when we're with God, because God never works through us unless we choose to let him work through us. We have to choose every day. God, work through me. Demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit today. I'm ready. And open your heart and be willing to let the power of the Spirit work through you today. Now, if you're with the rulers of darkness, there is no free choice. They will not ask you if you want to do the things you don't want to do. They're going to make you do whatever they want you to do, even if you don't want to do it. They don't ask for anything. They just come in and take everything. And that's the power that we have when we choose God. We now are in that place where we have the power and the authority, but we also have that free choice all the time, because God is not one. He will not barge in and make you do anything. You will still be a citizen of heaven. You will still be a part of the body of Christ. You just won't be functioning. You know, you'll just kind of be existing. It's like cells. Sometimes they get lazy in our body and they're not working and they're just going to be sitting there. They're still part of the body. You know, they haven't been thrown out of the body yet. They're just sitting there, relaxing. Same with the people that decide not to choose to have God work through them. But that's not you. You're choosing to let God work through you. You're choosing every day, saying, yes, I want the Spirit. Let's demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit here today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.